Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. On Thursdays, we interview our very own Mitch Fakwa, Father Mitch Fakwa, just celebrating 48 years as a priest. Happy anniversary. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am well, Father. How are you?
Very, very well. Very well.
Happy anniversary.
I'm very blessed. I'm giving a retreat all this week, eight-day retreat.
Wow.
So I'm actually not in Alabama. I'm up in Clarkston, Michigan, not far mm-hmm. from your own home,
mm-hmm.
And from about an hour from Domino's studios, Domino Farms, and giving a retreat to our Jesuit priests and brothers who are in our infirmary. These are men who need medical observation and care and all that, and they've gotten sometimes illnesses, sometimes they're a bit feeble, weak, varies with the guys. And they are up here, not in retirement. This is a very important thing that in our catalog, which lists all the Jesuits, we never say that they are retired. Their job has changed to praying for the church and for the Society of Jesus. So they're continuing to serve, and it's just that they can't do the same work they used to do, so they are here in prayer and masses, of course, during the day, and that's how they continue to serve our Lord.
So an eight-day retreat, do you have a particular theme for the priests?
Well, you know, I'm using the spiritual exercises of mm-hmm. St. Ignatius Loyola. But and this is a retreat that I've been giving. In fact, I started this about 40 years ago. I use the Psalms as the text for the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. I especially like to do this for religious and clergy, so that they can combine the daily recitation of the Liturgy of the Hours. This is Liturgy of the Hours, a very ancient practice in the church that goes back to the at least the second century, if not the first, of praying psalms every day. The Psalms were the prayer book of ancient Israel, and the church continued and continues to this day to use the Psalms. So the Psalms are organized for each day to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. Your husband, who is a deacon, mm-hmm. does this every day, and priests and religious do this, and of course, the laity can also pray the Liturgy of the Hours, either an abbreviated form or the full form of the Liturgy of the Hours. And I like to have a spirituality of the Psalms be developed, to understand them as a source of prayer, and not just reciting the office, but helping give some insights into praying the office and the meaning of the different expressions in the Psalter. That's the goal that I have.
Beautiful. And now, Father, you celebrated this week, yesterday, I believe, 48 years
yes.
as a priest. It probably, if you look back, does it feel like it's gone over, it's happened quickly that you come to 48 years, or when you come to your anniversary
yeah.
each year? What does it feel like?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. Like most people, as they get older, time goes by more quickly. This is part of it, because the difference when you're 10 and everything like Christmas and summer vacation takes forever, it's because a year is 10% of your whole life,
mm-hmm.
whereas now it's 1/75 of my life. It's a much smaller fragment. And so, and every year it gets to be a smaller fragment, so it seems to go by more quickly. Now, I don't think of it as something that happened just yesterday. It's been a lot of, you know, tracks in between June of 1976 and the present. I describe myself as a bicentennial priest, because I was ordained right before the bicentennial celebration of our Declaration of Independence. And I was blessed, because of the way that the course of studies went, I was still fairly young as a priest. I was only 26 at the time. And, you know, this was, became 27 the following month. And so, you know, I've been able to use a lot of that energy of my younger years, and by maintaining good health, been pretty much able to stay energetic into, the guys who are here still don't consider me old. Because, you know, for instance, two of the men here, both of whom were my professors, one in moral theology class, and the other was a professor of church history, especially the Reformation and Counter-Reformation. Both of them are celebrating their 75th anniversary in the Jesuit
this
year. So they don't consider me old.
That's amazing.
They entered the society just a couple weeks after I was born. I consider myself advanced middle age rather than old, because the old guys won't let me join their club yet.
We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa. It's 24 minutes past the hour. We have a break in about a minute, and we're going down memory lane a bit with our very own Father Mitch from EWTN, yesterday marking 48 years of his ordination. We are so blessed that he said yes to the Lord in the priesthood. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we will talk about, you know, what led him to not just the priesthood, but to the Jesuits. I do want to remind you that we have a new book to tell you about. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, American Revolutionary, the story of the only Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. It's by Father, speaking of priests, Charles Connor, and it's masterfully written. It's a biography. Father Connor brilliantly sets the stage for Carroll's extraordinary life by examining his ancestry, the origins of the U.S., and the story of its founding. So you can take a look at Charles Carroll of Carrollton, American Revolutionary, by Father Charles Connor. It's available now. And, of course, that means you can always go to the EWTN shop online. You can go to EWTNRC.com. Again, that's EWTNRC.com. It's available now at the EWTN Religious Catalog, and, of course, at our bookstore there online as well. Just a reminder that coming up after Father Mitch Pacwa, we are going to be talking with the folks at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation about the situation that has developed with X and a new policy they have regarding curbing the issue of pornography, hopefully. But the National Center on Sexual Exploitation doesn't think it is going to work. They say it's actually destined to fail. So we'll get back to Father Mitch Pacwa. He's actually in Clarkston, Michigan, which is about 30 minutes north of the Detroit area, about an hour from Domino's Farms of Ave Maria Radio, where we broadcast our program from every single day. And we'll continue with our conversation on the priesthood. Happy anniversary to Father Mitch. What a blessing. 48 years as a priest. We are so grateful. We'll be right back. The one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. He is a theologian, a scripture scholar, and a wonderful Jesuit priest who's been a priest now for 48 years. Praise the Lord. Father, great to have you on with us, and you join us every Thursday for Cultural Connections, and you are in Clarkston giving a retreat. Now, let's go back down memory lane, if we can, and talk to us about what first got you thinking and praying about becoming a priest.
No, I had gone to public school for first and second grade, and then we moved back from Florida to Chicago, where I started third grade. And it was the first time I had contact with the sisters and then also the priests. And just as I was getting close to making my first communion back in 58, I started to be attracted to the idea of being a priest. Up until then, I had just been absolutely focused on wanting to be a cowboy. There was nothing else I wanted to do. In fact, I always asked for a pony for my birthday.
Aww.
Well, the problem is that Mr. and Mrs. Pack were raising a little fool. We lived in a house trailer. there was no room for us, let alone a pony.
Well, you couldn't put them up, like, tie them to a tree outside or something like they do in the old movies, you know, they have the reins and they tie them to the tree or to the post.
I tried that line. It never worked.
Oh, okay.
Worked.
Didn't work? Okay.
But, you know, I felt that the call to be a priest, and it just stayed with me ever since. I haven't totally given up the cowboy idea. I still wear my boots and hat.
Oh yeah, your boots and your cowboy hat. Love it. Mm-hmm.
And I ride when I get a chance, and I've even gone out rounding up cattle out west on a friend of mine's ranch. He needed to round up some cattle, so it was just so much fun to help him. But you know, the priesthood just stayed as the call. So when I was 14. I started seminary, and think back on that. When I was 14, the Vatican Council was only in its second year, and they finished up when I was a junior, I believe, in high school. And by the time I was a senior, we started reading the documents of Vatican II in our class. That was our textbook. So that was, it was very good to actually read the documents. We could talk about that someday, what, you know, why some of those things went awry for many people. But mm-hmm. because we had to pay our own tuition, the education was not free. It wasn't expensive. It was $175 a year. But I knew that after high school, my parents would not be able to help me financially. And that was clear to all of us. They just couldn't. So I started working, and instead of putting my money in the bank where there was no interest to be made, I invested my money in the stock market when I was 15 and 16 and 17. Chicago, it wasn't legal. I couldn't legally buy stock. But in Chicago, you always knew people. And so I did. And I became so taken up with, you know, carefully planning my portfolio and looking at the stock market. I even won second prize in our school science fair for doing an exhibit to explain the stock market.
Wow.
And I, you know, began to wonder at that point, was I becoming so focused on my stock portfolio that I might lose focus on pastoral ministry and care for the people of God. And this could be a rival to my priestly service. And that's what made me start to think about religious life. And then around Christmas of junior year, it just very suddenly came to my mind, but with a certain authority, that I am not going to be a diocesan priest, and 3 days later I said, I'm going to be a Jesuit. And I'd never met any Jesuits. I never knew one. And, you know, and that's why the society asked me to go to Loyola University for a year to get to know Jesuits and get known by them before I entered. And so I did that. And then in 1968, I applied and entered the Society of Jesus. So it's been 56 years Jesuit, but 48 years of priesthood.
So was there something in particular about the Jesuits that you were that really drew you, got your attention, or it just came to you in prayer?
The only thing I knew about the Jesuits was from my fourth grade geography book, where they told the story of the Jesuits in Japan who trained the Catholics there so well that even after the Jesuits were martyred and or expelled from the country, the Japanese Catholics kept passing on the faith, and they had told those Catholics that the priests will come back, and when they do, ask if they honor the Blessed Mother, if they're under the Pope, and if they're married. Those were the three ways to identify Catholic priests. And so in the 1870s, a French a consulate was established down in the south of Japan, and they had a chaplain, a Franciscan, and the Japanese Catholics came to him and asked those questions, surprising him greatly. But they had been baptizing one another and teaching, catechizing each other without priests being there. And I was impressed by the tremendous impact those Jesuits must have had on those Japanese Catholics. So wow. I think that was the one story I knew about Jesuits. I didn't know anything.
Well, we have about 40 seconds left, so I'm going to let you wrap this up, Father, with what do you love most about being a priest?
I would say this. You know, parents are part of their role, besides formation of their children, is to help them learn to listen to God and to find the vocation God has for them. Parents have to remember this is not about the parents' hopes. It's about God's call. And don't dissuade your child from a vocation to marriage, to the religious life, or priesthood. Encourage them to think along the lines, God is calling you. So listen to that call and be willing to follow him no matter what.
Amen. Well said, Father. Thank you for saying yes to the priesthood and to EWTN. We so appreciate your priesthood. After 48 years of ordination yesterday, Father Mitch Pacwa joining us for our regular Thursday installation of Cultural Connections. And we'll be right back to wrap up the program. More Catholic Connection coming your way. It's June 13th. Thanks for listening.